Well, good morning again, everybody, and welcome to the Product Care Ontario Paint Association webinar session. Today is May 5th, and I'm happy to say that we have several people helping us today on this session. So starting from the left, as you see the slide, from Product Care Association, there is Mark Kirshner, myself, Pat Chauvet, Sherith Sinisak, and Holly LaFontaine. From Stewardship Ontario supporting us is Catherine Abel, Colin Hollister, Alistair Harris-Cartwright, and Nicole Griffith. And in the room with us, we also have Mary Cummins from Waste Aversion Ontario. The agenda for today looks something like this. So we're going to go through the program approval and launch date, program options for stewards, Stewardship Ontario versus Product Care Association. Then we're going to turn it over to Stewardship Ontario to run through several slides, talk about the exiting Stewardship Ontario, and annual true-up. Then there will be, I'm going to hand it back to Mark, who's going to go through some slides about product care, talk about product care versus regeneration, a little bit about our website, talk about the Paint Care Paint ISP program, accepted products within the Paint ISP. We're going to touch on environmental handling fees, what the rates are, no visible fees, registering with Product Care, reporting to Product Care, member support. Then we're going to talk about key timelines and activities, and then let you know where some of the resources and contact information. And once that's done, we'll be able to answer your questions. And again, as a reminder, if you have any questions, you can type into the chat box and we will answer them at the end of the session. And you don't have to wait to the end of the session to ask the question. All right. Moving on then, as you may know, on December 10th, 2014, Waste Aversion Ontario approved the Product Care ISP stewardship plan for the management of end-of-life paints and coatings. And subsequently, on March 25th, 2015, WDO announced the effective date of the paint ISP as June 30th, 2015. Some of the main differences between the stewardship program and the product care program, under 5% of stewards by market share remain with Stewardship Ontario. As of last week, I would say, and then quarterly reporting and fluctuating fees as a result of Regulation 1112 with an annual true-up. On the product care side, over 95% of stewards by market share have signaled their intent to join Product Care's ISP plan. We have monthly reporting and payments based on a fixed environmental handling fee, and with the rates that go along with that. Now I'm going to turn it over to Catherine Abel, who will go through the next set of slides related to Stewardship Ontario. Catherine?
Thank you, Pat. Okay, well, welcome, everyone. We'll just take a quick look at our agenda for my section of the presentation. So our purpose really today is to explain the exit process for paints and coating stewards. We'll talk about some of the communications that hopefully you've already received from Stewardship Ontario. If you think you're missing any, just check, but let us know if you didn't receive them. We'll talk about the reporting and payment schedule. We'll talk about what it means to be a steward in good standing for the purposes of the ISP. And we'll talk about your invoices and what that's going to look like. And finally, we'll just briefly cover how we're going to handle the annual true-up, the 2015 annual true-up, which takes place in 2016. Next slide. Thank you. So you should have already received, you'll see on the screen, a list of these communications. On March 25th, we sent out a communique to all paints and coating stewards confirming the transition date of June 30th. In April, mid-April, we sent out a communication to paints and coating stewards that signed letters of intent with Product Care re the exit process. At the same time, we sent another communication out to paints and coatings stewards that had not signed a letter of intent with Product Care, just telling them about the ISP and providing them with some information on why it would benefit them to actually join the ISP. You can find all of the communications. You'll see the URL there on the screen, so you can go there and check that you've read them all. Okay, so this slide actually sets out, if you are a steward exiting Stewardship Ontario's paint program, what your obligations are for the next little while. So the top of the slide talks about the reports that you need to submit to us. The bottom piece of the slide talks about the payments that you need to submit to us. So two reports that we are asking that you provide us. One is your Q2 report, which actually was due on April 30th, so we hope that you were able to get those in. That report consists of your Q1 data. The second report that we'll ask you to send to us is your Q3 report, and that is due on July 31st, and that consists of your Q2 data, which is your April 1st to June 30th data. Then the payments. Okay, so there's two payments. One is your Q2 invoice, which you probably would have received yesterday, and it is due to us on May 31st. And your Q3 invoice, which is due to us on August 30th, which I believe you'll receive around the beginning of August. Now, you'll see on this slide, in brackets, it says, including half of the estimated pre-effective date costs. And similarly, against the Q3 invoice, there's the other half of the estimated date costs. And so I'll talk a bit more about that in a few minutes. But essentially, what we're doing is we're estimating the cost that we expect to see so that you can actually, we'll include those in these two invoices so that you don't have to actually report and pay again. So everything will be done in terms of these reports and payments after Q3. But I'll get into that a bit more in detail in a moment. Adjustments, you'll see on the screen, were because the stewards are exiting to the paint program, we're asking that if you have any adjustments to your paint report, we ask that you get those requests in before July 31st so that we can process them. We will not be considering any requests for adjustments after that date. All right, so now I'd just like to talk a little bit about what it means to be in good standing. So first thing is, a steward is in good standing in the context of the ISP if the paint report and payments are submitted by the due dates specified in the rules and the due dates that we just covered on the previous slide. So that's the first thing. But I also want to remind you that stewards, the Waste Diversion Act requires stewards to be in good standing at all times in accordance with the Act and the rules which the Act authorizes. And that includes making sure that your full reports, all materials, not just paint, but all your materials are in and your invoices are paid up. What will be happening is that we'll be checking in with the WDO at various checkpoints, and they'll be checking with us just to make sure that the paint stewards are in good standing for paint. So, and the next slide actually shows what those checkpoints are. And they really correspond to the due dates in terms of when your reports are due and when your invoices are due. Once we conduct the annual true-up. So you can see them on the screen. I won't go through them here, but that's what they are. So if you have any questions about your in-good-standing status, then just contact Stewardship Ontario, and we will do our best to let you know what that status is at any given time. So next is the invoicing. As I said, Stewards of Ontario will estimate the material management costs incurred prior to June 30th, and we will apply these costs to your Q2 and Q3 invoices. So we're basically splitting them in half against those two invoices. So the reason that we are doing this is because service providers, we will actually receive invoices from service providers for work done during that period up to June 30th. We will receive those invoices after June 30th. And in some cases, we actually receive them fairly late typically. However, we have asked that they do their best to get those invoices in within the next 3 months after the June 30th date. So what we're going to do is just estimate what those costs are and apply half to Q2 invoice and half to your Q3 invoice. So the Q2 invoice, which you would have received yesterday, you will see that represented on that invoice. And this just basically alleviates paints and coating stewards from having to submit Q4 reports and paying Q4 invoices, which we wanted to avoid for your sake. The estimated costs will be based on the following kinds of costs: the material management costs received after the ISP effective date, the administrative costs to process the service provider reports, the administrative costs to manage and process steward reports and payments, and then any discrepancy between the estimated costs and the actual cost, which we will be able to know by the end of the year, will all be reconciled when we do the 2015 annual true-up. Okay, so speaking of the annual true-up, this takes us to the final section of this presentation, which is, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the true-up here. So it will be run in April 2016. So remember, the purpose of the true-up is basically to reconcile, the volatility that our stewards typically see from quarter to quarter because of the fact that we have to calculate your steward share assessment, your SSA, each quarter. So every year, at the end of the year, we factor in all of any steward adjustments that have taken place through the year, and all the costs that have come in from the service providers, and then we do this big calculation, and it basically ends up, we then go out to you, the stewards, and if you overpaid through that year, then we issue you a credit, and if you underpaid, then there is a debit against, we will invoice you against. So that's typically how it works, and I don't think that there's a paint steward out there that isn't familiar with that process already, and that's probably one of the primary reasons that you're wanting to join the ISP. Totally understand that. So anyway, we'll be conducting our ATU as we typically do. On the next slide, it shows you how we're going to do it. So because we don't have your Q4 reports, what we do need four quarters in order to conduct the ATU, we're actually going to use the Q4 of 2014. We're going to use that report to conduct the ATU. Okay. And you see on the screen, that just illustrates how that's going to be done. Okay. And then, as I said, we'll be issuing credits and debits probably in April, maybe into May in 2016. And that constitutes sort of the final piece of in good standing. So if you're a steward, a paint steward, that it ends up you have a credit on your paint account, then we will actually be issuing checks to you because, of course, we won't be able to apply a credit because you're no longer part of the program. If you are a steward that ends up in a debit position, then we will be invoicing you. And this will be the final check after all of that process is done. This will be the final check-in with the WDO to confirm your in good standing status. And then that should be the last that you'll hear from Stewardship Ontario for your paint products. Oh, and then, sorry, finally, one final slide. So a summary of the points. You can see this is basically the communications. You can go to this URL. The deadlines to submit are here. So we just passed your April 30th deadline for your Q2, and your Q3 invoice is due July 31st. Payment deadlines, May 31st for Q2 and August 30th for Q3. You'll have to be in good standing with ESSO before exiting. And the invoicing, we've talked about. I don't think I need to go through that again. So anyway, again, and if there's any questions or you need any additional information, this is the you can reach any of our steward services representatives at this number or email us at werecycle@stewardshipontario.ca. So that's it, and I look forward to your questions at the end. And, Mark, I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, Catherine, thanks very much. It's Mark Kirshner here, Product Care Association. And just want to mention again, we'll be doing the question and answer through the chat function. And if anybody wants, so they can start sending in the questions anytime, but we'll start responding to them at the end of the slideshow. So what I'm going to do is just give you a bit of background about the ISP itself and update you there, and then talk about what the steward obligations will be for the ISP. So it's obviously a period of transition, and you're moving from one system to another system, and the systems are quite different. So it does take a little bit of understanding. So the first slide here just tells you what I hope you know, that we're already set up and we've been running for 20 years now, started in British Columbia with the paint program, and now we've got 14 different programs across the country in 9 provinces, including Ontario, and the only one left out is Alberta, and I'm not sure if that'll change, but maybe with the election that I think is on today, who knows. So next slide, please. Yeah. So just a quick snapshot of our different programs. Paint is probably our most common one across all the provinces, except Alberta, as I mentioned, and also Quebec is run as a separate program. Other products that are overlapping some of the Ontario MHSW products, we run in BC and Manitoba. Lighting, we're doing in now 4 provinces, and we're going to be running what we call an interim lights program in Ontario, which is a separate topic I won't get into, but that will hopefully bridge the gap until new legislation comes in on that. And then smoke and CO alarms, and then we also do work for other programs in BC, small appliances, major appliances, outdoor power equipment. Okay, I'm going to hand the mic over just briefly to Chris Dagenet, who's our Director of Communications, who can explain the next couple of slides. Chris?
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, we'll just spend a couple minutes here. A point of clarity around some of the names that you'll have encountered around our organization. Officially, Product Care Association is our corporate name and the legal name that will remain on all of our contracts and agreements. So when you are doing work with us behind the scenes, you'll continue to see Product Care Association, or abbreviated as PCA, as the corporate entity, and that will not change. But last year, on our 20th anniversary, we felt it was time for a bit of a brand refresh, specifically towards our consumer-facing communications efforts. And so we came up with the term regeneration, which is now Product Care's consumer-facing brand. So that's the distinction between the two. The idea was to make us a little bit more accessible and our company a bit more intuitive to the average consumer, to understand quicker what it is we do, and invite them into conversation about that. So you'll see regeneration as the umbrella brand, I guess, is a good way to describe it, for all of the various programs that we run, which will include paint recycle, light recycle, alarm recycle, et cetera. So we just wanted to take a minute to clarify that. And if we look at the next slide, it just makes reference to the fact that the principal platform for the regeneration brand and for communications generally for our company is the website, which is regeneration.ca. It hosts not only consumer, but member and program partner resources, which you can engage with and probably will get quite familiar with, providing relevant information to each of our stakeholder groups in one place. and specifically the resources for our members for the Ontario program are available at the URL that we've listed here. And not to worry, we will have these listed again at the end of the presentation, and we will also make this slide presentation available for you. So that's the distinction between the two brands, and regeneration.ca is the principal tool on which we communicate, which includes all of our member information.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much. So it's Mark Kirshner again. So just a bit of an overview about the ISP itself, the Industry Stewardship Program. We've been working on it for well over a year, and very pleased to get the approval and to get our effective date nailed down as June 30th. If you're not aware, the Industry Stewardship Plan is an option, I guess I might call it, under the Waste Diversion Act. Everybody has to start in an IFO, and but there is the option for one or more stewards to form an ISP, and that's what's happened here. We did have, obviously, a lot of support from the Canadian Paint and Coatings Association, whose members are very involved in the paint business. So June 30th is the effective date, and that's when we will be taking over the end-of-life management for paints and coatings. So that's the entire collection system, which is both municipal and return to retail, as well as the transportation function and the processing recycling function. And we're working right now with all the different service providers, including the municipalities, return to retail, to make sure everything gets transitioned over. We've been very pleased with the level of support we've had from Stewardship Ontario. It's really the supply chain that they created that they're transferring over to us, which only makes sense where we're in the 95% plus range on the market share. And we've been pleased to have their cooperation as we go along. Okay, so products, and this is something is important to stewards because this is what you're reporting on, and there are some slight changes from the status quo. In the first part, we show where we made some slight expansions of the definition, so and that's to harmonize with our other product care programs. So one is the non-pesticide marine coatings will be now included, and then the other one, possibly more significant, is that all paint aerosols, not just architectural, which was the which is the existing definition with Stewardship Ontario, but all paint aerosols will be included in the program as they are in all of the other product care programs. So that will include automotive, craft, and industrial products if they are in aerosol format. The next bullet, I have to confess I'm not the expert. I think Manny Chung, who's our Vice President of Operations, has been in discussion with some of the stewards, but there was a little bit of confusion regarding these products, wood, masonry, driveway, and roof sealers, coatings. And what we're saying is that the way it is now in the Stewardship Ontario definition is the way it will remain. So I think it does not exactly match the way we do it in the other provinces, but we do not want to be taking products out, so this product category will stay the same. So you've got two different things, slight expansion going on, and the second bullet is not no change at all, but it's somewhat different from the way it is in the other product care programs. But if you're already doing it in Ontario with Stewardship Ontario for this product, there's nothing to change. The product list itself is available at that website, and have a look there, please. So the program will be using a unit-based revenue model, which is what we do in all of the other programs we have. It's what Stewardship Ontario was doing pre, I guess, 2012 roughly, until the new that regulation 1112 came in, requiring them to go to a quarterly cost recovery model. But the ISP is not subject to that same limitation, and so we're going to go back to or take the program to a unit-based fee model. So what we've done is our own budgeting and come up with the fee rates that you see. Those were announced already before the end of March, and so if you're not doing so, you want to make sure your system is all set up in terms of being able to report units sold and be ready to pay these fee rates to the program. And we're calling them environmental handling fees, are the term now used. And they'll be reported to us on a monthly basis with some exceptions, which I'll mention in the next slide or so. Okay. Yeah, we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Holly. Yeah. So the next and very important point is that the approval that we obtained from Waste Diversion Ontario specifically states that there shall be no visible fees. It's the opinion of Waste Diversion Ontario that this has in the past and would in the future create confusion for consumers. And so that was a limitation in the approval that we got, and it's stated right in the approval letter. So anyone who's joining the ISP has to be prepared to observe this requirement. And it's specifically to the end user. So whoever's ultimately buying the product and using the product, so that could be a homeowner, that could be a trade painter, but there cannot be visible fees shown during that process or displayed if it's in a retail store. It has to be the complete price. There is the ability still down the, what I'll call the supply chain, between, let's say, manufacturer and retailer, to show the fee on that wholesale type invoice. So, and a lot of stewards have asked us if that can still be done. So that is still available or still possible to do, but it's at the interface with the end user where it's important that it does not occur. If anyone's got any questions or any sort of confusion on that, you can ask questions today, or you're welcome to get in touch with us directly and we'll discuss it. But it is important that we make sure that by June 30th, if not sooner, that is the situation for anybody who's participating in the ISP. And to sort of legalize it, if you will, when you go through the formal registration process in our member registration system, you'll see that there is a supplementary letter of agreement for the Ontario Paint ISP. And we have these for other programs where there's some special factor that needs to be covered. And you'll see it's a short document, but it references mainly this limitation and the fact that by joining the ISP, you will be agreeing to the no visible fee requirement. Okay, so the actual method of registering with Product Care, and that is to go to the registration website, and which anyone who's currently a member has been there before in order to register in the first place or to add a program. And if you're an existing Product Care member, you're going to log into your own account, and instead of doing your normal fee reporting that you probably normally do on a monthly basis, you will instead click on the option of adding a new program or province to your membership, and then you'll go through the registration steps, which will include that supplementary letter of agreement that I mentioned. If you're brand new to Product Care, you've never registered with us before, it's like any sort of registration portal. You have to set up your own account and then go through the various registration steps, which will include that supplementary letter of agreement. I should mention that any registration at this point in time will be conditional, and conditional in the sense that we will sort of hold it until we've got the clearance from Waste Diversion Ontario that you have satisfied the exit requirements Waste Diversion Ontario, that you satisfied the exit requirements with Stewardship Ontario. And as you saw from the calendar, that's something that we won't hear from Waste Diversion Ontario typically until late May, early June sort of thing. So you're encouraged to go through and do the registration step now, but you won't get the actual confirmation until sometime later. So here's a bit of a timeline just to try and help you see how things work. And Holly, I was going to ask you to, Holly LaFontaine's our program coordinator, and she's going to walk us through these. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, so just as Mark said about that conditional registration piece, so we are encouraging everyone that wants to join for the June 30 launch to make sure that they do that conditional registration by May 29th, at which point that'll enable Product Care to see who has registered and then send a list to Waste Diversion Ontario, at which point Stewardship Ontario and Waste Diversion Ontario will be able to see who's registered, go through the good standing status evaluation, and then by June 17th, Waste Diversion Ontario will then communicate that approved or unapproved status to join the PCA ISP. So it is really important that to be able to transfer for that June 30 date, that you do register by May 29, so that then that can initiate the approval process. And then we'll know in advance of June 30th who will be approved to join for the June 30th launch.
Okay, thanks very much, Holly. Now the question is the sort of the cycle of the reporting. So assuming that you've done everything you need to do to join the program as soon as it starts, which is officially June 30th, then the actual reporting period will start the next day, July the 1st. And as is our normal routine, for the month of July, there's nothing to report, in fact. It's in the month of August that you report your sales by unit for the month of July and also make the payment of the environmental handling fees before the end of August. And so then that's the sequence that will continue. Each month of sales are reported on the following month. The system itself, as it does now, will generate an invoice and will automatically add the HST, which is what applies in Ontario. I will mention that we're in the process of doing a revamping of our reporting system, and I think we'll have it done by June 30th, but I can't guarantee that. It'll function in much the same way. It'll look somewhat different. The actual login site will be changing to EHF reporting, and we'll give you lots of notice about that. But it will be getting updated and will be more user-friendly than it is right now. I know some people have had trouble using certain browsers, for example, and we're hoping to fix all of that at the same time. Okay. Now, the current situation in Ontario is, if I can say, more restrictive in terms of who reports, and that's because of the underlying legislation and so on, and it requires the actual obligated steward to do the reporting and the fee payment to the Stewards of Ontario program. If you're already a member of Product Care, you'll know that in our other programs we allow flexibility. As long as we get the fee from somebody in the supply chain, we're flexible in terms of allowing, for example, a manufacturer and a retailer. It may be that the retailer prefers to do the reporting and the payment of the fees, or it may work better for the manufacturer to do it. So that will be the case with our Ontario ISP. And so for some situations, who's actually reporting and paying the fee may change, and that would have to be by agreement between the two parties, the upstream and the downstream and the supply chain, to make sure that everybody knows what's going on. We recommend, require that this be documented so that there's no gaps that occur. We do regular member audits, and by signing an agreement with Product Care, you're committing, every member commits to make sure that fees are paid on all the sales. So, but one sort of special case I'll mention, and that is the reporting steward. And so, again, depending on where you are in the supply chain, you may be the obligated party. Perhaps you're a manufacturer based in Ontario and it's your brand name, but you're shipping to a major retailer's warehouse and they're selling across the country. You, the manufacturer, the obligated steward, don't know what your customer is selling in Ontario. And so the sort of workaround that's been going on right now is that the retailer can act as what's called a reporting steward and can enter the sales data for that particular brand and for other brands if it's the same situation with other manufacturers or suppliers. But just that, just enter the data, and then it's up to the obligated steward, in my example, the manufacturer, to actually complete the report and make the payment. So we've had a number of stewards tell us that that's the way they'd like to continue to do it. And so we've looked. Our system is not, have to admit, not as sophisticated in this particular regard, because it's not something that we do in any other program. But we do have some workarounds. Basically, if you're a large retailer with multiple suppliers who are the obligated stewards, we'll set up more than one account. Each account will be for a pairing of the retailer and a supplier, and we'll mimic the system as it works right now. So if you want to keep doing the reporting steward concept, we will be able to do that with you. Just let us know. Okay, another comment that we've had, in all of our programs, our requirement is monthly reporting, and the exception is if you're what we call a small remitter, you can report, and you're under $10,000 per year for all of our programs, you can request to move to a quarterly reporting periodicity, and we are good with that. We will permit that, obviously, in Ontario. If you're already a member of our other programs and you can demonstrate to us that your reporting will not exceed the thresholds, we will let you do that without waiting the year. If you're brand new to the program, our normal requirement is to have you wait, show a year's worth of reporting before we let you move over to quarterly. We have had a number of members say they're used to now reporting quarterly in Ontario because that's the sequence there, even though that isn't what how it works for others. So our expectation is that everybody can move to the monthly reporting with the exception of the small remitter policy here. So again, if you've got questions on this, please don't hesitate to get in touch with Holly would be the best one to contact on this. Okay, Holly, I'm going to give the microphone back to Holly to just walk us through the next timeline.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, just to recap, so if a steward was approved after that conditional registration and figuring out the good standing and approved to join for the June 30 effective date, then this sort of just outlines what that reporting timeline is going to look like. So some of this you've seen from the SO presentation as well. So for a transferred member, they would be still required as part of the ISP. They'll have to submit their Q2 sales back to SO, which I believe is your Q3 report, considering you were part of the IFO at that time. And that would be the July 31 deadline for those Q3 reports of Q2 sales. And then you can see sort of the time frame. As Mark mentioned, the reporting with Product Care will be within 30 days from the month's end of the calendar month. And so you'll see there the PCO and Paint ISP members will report their sales and remit their fees within that 30 days for the July paint and coating sales. And so the effective date is sort of June 30th, end of day, so the steward will start reporting their July 1 to July 31 sales in August. And then you'll see the Q3 invoice, so the transferred members, again, you've seen this in the SO presentation, will pay that Q3 invoice to SO by the August 30th date. And then, again, the recurring PCA ON Paint ISP members, you'll report then your August paint sales throughout September. And so you have 30 days from September 1st to September 30th to pay to report and remit those fees to PCA. So this kind of just highlights that timeline of what happens in those first few months after you've transferred into PCA. So summarizes what you sort of give back to SO during that time frame by July 31st and August 30th, and then sort of the 30-day report and remit to PCA process that will be recurring each and every month after joining. So that just summarizes the reporting timeline for you. So now just to jump into member support, during this time, there's a lot of different bits of information that are out there for you, emails that we're sending out, and we really want to make sure that the information is accessible to you. And so I just wanted to take you through what is going to be the pathway for you to find all of the information you need. So if you were to go to our Regeneration website, this is the home page that you would come across. And what I wanted to highlight to you is the member support button on the top bar. So as soon as you enter the regeneration.ca website, the first thing to do for anything member related is to go to our member support by clicking there. Now for Ontario specific, once you click into the member support, you'll be in an overview page where there's sort of general information about member support generally for all of our PCA programs. Now, to access what you're looking for, you would click on Ontario, specifically on the left side, where we have all of the different provinces listed. And then next, that'll take you to our Ontario-specific member page. And here is where you can find different resources that are available, our FAQs, which are currently posted with different transition information, and which we will be updating shortly after this webinar. So as we, you know, get new questions, and, you know, continue to develop the transition as it goes on, we'll make sure to update those FAQs for you. And then also the member news. And so this member news will just connect you to, you know, if there is a key notice that's sent out or key information that's important for our members to know, this is where you would go. And so I have received some calls in the past little while of just people asking for resources, and so I wanted to take the time to make sure that that this is available to you, to really understand getting to the member support page and then specifically getting to the Ontario section with the information that you'll need. And then finally, just to give you a bit of an overview, there's a lot of key dates that have been discussed throughout the presentation. And so a timeline and key activities. So the steward registration for the PCA Ontario Paint ISP, we talked about that being on or before May 20th to help initiate that approval process with Waste Diversion Ontario and Stewardship Ontario. Then stewards pay their Q2 invoice to Stewardship Ontario May 31st. PCA sends the list of stewards registered in the ON Paint ISP to WDO, to Waste Diversion Ontario, and that's June 1st. And then SO is going to inform Waste Diversion Ontario of that good standing status, which they also indicated in their presentation. The key date for that is June 15th, and that allows us by June 17th to have a good perspective of who is approved and who is not approved to join the PCA Paint ISB for the June 30th launch date, and WDO will provide that communication for us. Transferred stewards, so after the effective date, assuming you're a part of the PCA Paint ISB, those Q2 sales reports will go back to Stewardship Ontario. We are going to offer, as Mark mentioned, with the reporting that there may be a new reporting interface that's coming online. We're not sure if it'll exactly be for the June 30th date or not, but whether it is or isn't, we're going to set up a webinar similar to this that will be focused on interacting with the reporting interface, whether it's the existing system or the new system, just so that if you aren't familiar and you haven't been part of some of our other PCA programs, you'll have that opportunity to sort of go through the steps and fully understand the system and how to interact with it on a monthly basis. And then the transferred stewards, which we also highlighted in that timeline, will pay back the Q3 invoice to SO by the August 30th. And then finally, the transferred stewards report July sales. And so keep in mind June 30th effective date, but it'll be really July 1 to July 31st that we'll be counting as the July sales, and you'll report and remit those fees within 30 days of the end of July. So you sort of have that time frame, and that'll be a recurring activity once joined into the ISP. So that just gives you, you know, a bit of an overview of all of those, all of those upcoming.
Okay, Holly, thanks very much. It's Mark Kirshner again. So we're at the end of the slideshow. You've got the contact information here. Obviously, if it's a matter relating to Stewardship of Ontario, you want to contact them. And Catherine gave you the email address, which shows up on the screen here. And if you've got a question on the product care side of things, Holly would be your prime contact. And now we'll get into the questions and answers. And Holly, maybe I'll have you read the question, then I'll try and do the answer part. So we've got several. And again, please pose your questions to the chat function. We're going to leave everybody on mute and just do the chat function. We'll read out the question and then do our best to give the answer.
Okay, so the first question here is, what are the fees for containers greater than 25 liters?
Okay, so I should have touched on this when we went through the product definitions. We have reduced the maximum container size from what used to be 30 liters to 25 liters to be consistent with all of the product care programs. But to our knowledge, there is no container sold between 25 and 30 liters. So it doesn't actually exclude anything. And so the answer is there are no fees for any containers above 25 liters, just like in the current program, there are no fees for any containers over 30 liters. So, you know, give us a follow-up question if I haven't fully answered your question now.
Okay. The next one is just asking whether the presentation will be available in the PDF version. For future reference, it will be. So on that member support, specifically Ontario, under program information, we will be posting the presentation as well as the audio recordings for future reference within about 48 hours after the second webinar. So after May 7th, we'll make sure to get all of the resources up there so anyone can come and reference them. The next question we have, does this automatically end any reporter's agreements in place?
Okay, so I did mention that there is this situation where in some cases, typically a retailer will be a reporting steward, but just will report data, not pay the fees, and it'll be the actual steward with the brand, who's the brand owner, et cetera, who will actually pay the fees. So my answer would be, in a sense, nothing automatic happens. It's really up to the stewards to figure out who's going to be paying what or doing what. And so, as I mentioned, if somebody wants to keep the reporter agreement concept in place, we can do that. I think it'd be kind of a special case. I think it'd be important to get in touch with us, get in touch with Holly. And as I said, typically what's going to be necessary is to have multiple accounts set up in our reporting system. So it could be ABC Paint Company and XYZ Retailer as one account, and then DEF Paint Company and, again, XYZ Retailer as a second account, and so on. And it would be the retailer logging in, reporting the sales, and then the invoice would get created and would be transmitted somehow to the actual steward who's paying. So anybody who wants to keep doing the reporting relationships, just get in touch with us and we'll keep it going. But a number of stewards have told us, you know, they don't need to do that way anymore. They're happy to just step forward and do direct reporting and payment themselves. But it all depends on the business relationship between the parties. Okay.
So Mark, can
I
interrupt?
Sure.
I just wanted to let everybody know that if that question was directed at Stewardship Ontario, I think, and you're a steward that has multiple materials, so not just paint. If they're asking the question from that perspective, what happens to the reporter's agreement that they have for multiple materials? I think, and we need to actually go back and check this, but the reporter's agreement would stay in place for the other materials. It's just the paint portion that would effectively end. But in terms of what that actually looks like for the stewards, we need to look at that because, of course, that report is actually a tripartite agreement with Stewardship Ontario.
Thanks, Catherine. It's Mark, and I probably or possibly the question was directed to you. And obviously, when you're directing questions, it could be to Product Care, but it could also be to Stewardship Ontario. And so we'll try and interpret the questions as we go. Holly, yeah.
Do solvent costs differ from paint costs?
Okay, and I've got the benefit of seeing the next question as well, which I'm going to read out. Will the solvent program also be transitioning by June 30th? And so I think these are talking about the same thing, possibly, and we didn't give an update on it, so I'll do that very quickly now. We had a second ISP that we'd initiated, and it more or less went on hold about a year ago, and that's to do with pesticides, solvents, and fertilizers. The industry side has asked us now to reactivate it, which we're doing, and so we're in the process of going ahead on that. I can safely tell you it will that ISP, if it gets approved by Waste Diversion Ontario, which we hope it will not start on June 30th. There isn't enough time. It will possibly start on January 1st, but that requires a lot of things to happen between now and then as well. So we'll keep everybody posted, but right now, this is just about paint, and anything to do with pesticides, solvents, fertilizers is at least 6 further months down the road. So that's the sort of all the information we give on that right now, I think.
So we've come to the end of the questions that have been submitted. We still have about 9 minutes before the end of the hour, and so just encourage you, if there are some other questions out there, to please be sure to type them in. We can wait a minute or so.
Yeah, and Catherine, I don't know if you've got any other comments you wanted to make or Pat.
No, I'm fine, thanks.
No, I don't have any other comments either, Mark. We're good. And I don't see any other questions that have come in at this point.
Okay, so I don't know if people are feverishly typing away, but we'll give it just another little bit of time. And we will repeat the webinar. It'll be live, but covering exactly the same set of slides on Thursday. So if you know anybody who wasn't able to join us today, please let them know. You're welcome to join in again. The answer should be the same. on Thursday as they were today. And, of course, you want to think about your own particular situation. It's very much a transition, as I said, properly winding down your stewardship role with paint only, with Stewardship Ontario, and then ramping up with Product Care. So there'll be obviously a considerable amount of overlap over the May, June, July into August, as you saw. Okay, I'm not seeing any more questions. I have to assume everyone's asked whatever they needed to, or they'll just contact us directly. So we'll say thanks very much, everybody, for your participation, and look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Okay? Bye then.
Thank you.